I'm Jerry Barrett, assistant of TexMars and Power of Prophecy. The following special report contains material that may not be suitable for young children. Parents, please take note. Thank you for your consideration. And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Hey, do you know who runs the pornographic industry? The porno movie kings of the United States and the world? Who might that be? Do you know who Bernie Madoff is? You know, the guy that had the Ponzi scheme that cheated people on Wall Street and around America out of up to $60 or $70 billion? Did you know he was having a sex and cocaine party going on in his office suites continually? Do you know who Bernie Madoff was? What religion he was? What group he was the head of? Do you know why America has become a nation of debauchery, homosexuality, unclean sex practices? Well, today you're going to find out. Do you know why the movies today have all this bathroom toilet humor? Do you know why psychology has been permeated with the bodily functions, anal practices and so forth? That's right. Your kid has a mental problem, schizophrenia. Well, maybe he wasn't toilet trained a certain way. Well, that's Freud and Jung and people like that might tell you. Who were Freud and Jung? What religion were they? What was their most holy book? Was it the Old Testament? Well, I have a man that can answer these questions on sex, bodily functions, sexual perversions. And his name is Michael Hoffman. He has the answers to these things because he's a Christian, a Bible believer, and the world's top researcher on the Jewish Talmud, their most holy book. This is part two today, dear friends, of the hideous witchcraft and black magic of the Talmud. And we're going to aim right at the sex and bodily functions that are elaborated on, even required and mandated for Jews in their most holy book. Michael Hoffman, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Tex. As always, it's good to be here.
You know, I've got your book, and we're going to offer it at halftime here on the program. It's entitled Judaism Discovered, over 1,100 pages, and the table of contents, which is very extensive, by the way. You have some interesting things. There's one here called sex magic. Then there's a goddess worship in Judaism. And then there's even the Talmud in the toilet. Well, you know, I just can't seem to find a lot of these things in the New Testament. So, but the Jews have them in their holy book, the Talmud. Maybe we better start off with asking the question, what is the Talmud and what authority does it have today among the Jews?
Well, the Talmud is supposed to represent the second gnosis of Moses. In other words, the first one being the Pentateuch, the written one. And then the second one being the oral one, spoken one, which was finally written down after the Pharisees crucified the Messiah of Israel. Before that, they hadn't been so totally degenerated that they would commit the customs and heritage of evil to writing. Once they did, the Mishnah was the first document and the Gemara was the second, and together they form the Talmud. And this is, according to their own testimony, the supreme book in Judaism. They say that that is the greatest virtue that is derived from study of the Talmud. A much lesser virtue comes from studying the Bible itself. And in fact, some rabbinic authorities would even say there's no virtue in it at all. It's only confusing unless you have the intermediation of a rabbi to explain it to you, which is basically to explain all the loopholes that they have created in the Word of God. So, yes, the Talmud is the supreme book of Judaism. The Old Testament is a distant second where it has importance at all, and I'll give you an example of that text. In the Mishnah, as I said, which was the founding document many of the ideas in the Mishnah were spoken by the Pharisees who were contemporaries of Jesus. There is almost no reference to the Bible in the entire Mishnah. And the Mishnah is the formative document of the religion of Orthodox Judaism. So we're talking about an anti-biblical religion, and its God is the worship of the Judaic male himself. That is the God of Judaism, the religion of self-worship, which is anti-biblical.
So if you're a rabbi, the document or the book that you study the most, you don't go to see what Zechariah or Moses, Abraham, or Elisha said. You go to this other book that other rabbis throughout history have said things, and you take that as your authority for living.
Well, they use all those patriarchs as a cloak. You'll certainly see plenty of references to all the patriarchs you mentioned. But in reality, the teaching is not from the patriarchs. It is, as you said, it comes from the traditions of men and these great authorities, the rabbis, which the Talmud says even God studies the Talmud. And when there was a debate in the Talmud between God and the rabbis, God lost the debate, and God admits in the Talmud that he lost it. So you can see the supreme megalomania of these people and where their book of illusion and delusion has led them down this horrible path of pride and self-worship.
So God, when he needs good spiritual advice, he has to go to the Talmud or to the Talmudic authorities, the rabbis, to get some good advice, huh?
Yes, that's their doctrine.
Well, you know, I mentioned Bernie Madoff. Here's a Wall Street Ponzi scheme operator that stole all this money. But it turns out that Bernie Madoff not only was having continuous sex, cocaine, marijuana parties in his offices while he was stealing all this money, but he was head of the American Jewish Committee. Now, I bet you that's a lot of people there that love the Jewish Talmud. Are you surprised that a man like Bernie Madoff, that his Jewishness led him into these kinds of criminal and debauched practices?
No, not at all. As the theme of our broadcast today, the Talmud is a filthy book, and it inspires filthy behavior in people. And before we were on the air, you discussed with me the fact that evangelists, true evangelists, authentic evangelists, want everyone to read the Bible, and that this is not the case with the Talmud. And that's true. Now, what they want you to read are selections from the Talmud. For example, Norman Solomon has just come out with selections from the Talmud in Penguin paperback, and I'm sure this is going to be very popular. And it's all a redacted Talmud with just the nice-sounding material in it. But the unredacted Talmud, such as, for example, the Steinfeld Talmud, which is uncensored, Random House stopped the publication of that Talmud midway through because there was too much pressure on, because they said they did not want what Steinfeld was revealing. And a good significant portion of my book, Judaism Discovered, is based on my close reading of Steinfeld. Steinfeld is out of print, but I recommend that people who can get a hold of it do so. But yes, we have what I call, there's a chapter in my book called The Talmud in the Toilet. And it may sound bizarre, and I know that we wish that we didn't have to discuss these things. I rather feel like a pathologist. I don't really want to have to look at these things, but someone has to, so I guess for the remainder of this broadcast, we're going to have to don our pathologist gloves and apron and proceed in pursuit of the truth, and also to dispel the numerous coils of illusion which bind our Christian brothers and sisters in their prestige and awe that they have for this religion of Orthodox Judaism. And I think after we present the documentation that we have today, hopefully we can free them from that bondage. But yes, rabbis are obsessed with toilets. I'll give an example text in Steven Spielberg's famous movie, Schindler's List. If you recall, a Judaic boy saves his life by jumping into the cesspool under an outdoor toilet. So it's a toilet that saves his life. He jumps into it, and it's full, and he swims around in the excrement in Spielberg's movie, and he's saved. That's what saves him. This is representative of Talmudic salvation. And, you know, the rabbis, sounds crazy, and it is. It almost sounds comical if it wasn't so tragic, but the rabbis' texts are afraid of going to the bathroom. They believe that devils reside in latrines, and the rabbis have to protect themselves and their co-religionists from these devils in various ways. And I'll quote to you from the Babylonian Talmud tractate Gittin 70a, quote, "On coming from a toilet, a man should not have sexual intercourse until he has walked long enough to walk a half a mile. because the demon of the toilet is with him for that time. If he does not walk the half mile, children conceived after he went to the bathroom will be epileptic, end quote. And by the way, the name of the latrine demon is Ruach Raha. And of course, this would be laughable were it not taken so seriously by the superstitious adherents of Orthodox Judaism.
Now, evidently, this is in your book, too, and it's a very horrible thing. It just shows this toilet in the Talmud situation. They believe that Jesus, they teach in the Jews' most holy book, that Jesus was a blasphemer and that Jesus, therefore, is being punished by something to do with burning excrement. Is that true?
Yes, and the Sonsino edition of the Talmud, which was much more available as opposed to the Steinsaltz edition, it is edited. And so instead of having Jesus' name in there, they have the euphemism sinners of Israel. I don't know why they use the plural, but they have sinners and Israel being boiled in hot excrement. However, in the uncensored version, it's Jesus of Nazareth is being boiled in hot excrement. So that is the fate that they have consigned to the Savior of the world, this horrible toilet symbol that they have for him.
So on one hand, a rabbi, if you say, what do you think of Jesus? He will say, oh, he was a wonderful teacher. He was a wonderful rabbi. And he will lie to you and deceive you, while his own holy book says that this horrible monster Jesus basically says he's boiling in the hot excrement in hell for eternity.
Yeah, and, you know, most of us don't think about these things except in terms of basic sanitation as outlined in the Old Testament. There are many rules of hygiene, and now modern science has found out that they were way ahead of their time. We're not talking about this. We're talking about man-made Talmudic superstitions which torment and haunt the people of Orthodox Judaism. There's so many rules in Orthodox Judaism, you have to understand that. And there's a rule practically governing every aspect of an Orthodox Judaic person's life. And one of these is one of these segments of hundreds and hundreds of rules is how to go to the toilet, what to do in the bathroom. For example, in Babylonian Talmud Tractate Barakah 62a, it says, Rabbi Akiva said, once I went in the bathroom and spied upon Rabbi Joshua while he was on the toilet. And I learned from him three things. I learned that one does not sit east and west, but north and south. I learned that one defecates not standing, but sitting. And I learned that it is proper to wipe with the left hand and not with the right. And said Rabbi Judah to him, why should one wipe with the left hand and not the right? And Rabbi Rabba said, because the Torah was given with the right hand, as it says, at his right hand was a fiery law unto them. And here they're quoting from Deuteronomy 33.
Wow.
So you can see the level of sickness and pathology. And as I think I pointed out on one of our previous broadcasts here on Power of Prophecy, many people try to make Sigmund Freud's psychology and psychotherapy something that should be applied to all the people of the world. But actually, a great deal of the patients who came to Sigmund Freud in Vienna were these Judaics who were burdened with this Talmudic insanity. And that, in turn, inculcated psychosis in them. So much of what Freud was talking about has no application to Gentiles, and yet many people come under Freud's spell because they think, oh, this is what these other patients had, maybe I have it too. So he actually spread the Judaic psychosis by not pointing out, hey, most of my patients were Talmudic.
Wow. You know, Carl Jung, who's almost worshipped by many New Agers today, the psychiatrist from Europe, somebody gave me something he had read where he said he had this vision. And in his vision, he was in a Christian church, which tells you something quite interesting. He was in a Christian church, and suddenly he saw dropping from the sky this huge hunk of human excrement, dropping from the sky. And it just bashed through the roof, went right through the roof of the church and destroyed the sanctuary and the altar of the Christian church. This was Carl Jung's vision. So, you know, even these guys' dreams are tainted with the toilet stuff. And, of course, in this case, it destroyed the sanctuary of a Christian church, human feces. So it's really a sick thing. Now, let's go more along this line. Next half of the show. I'd really like to get in some other subjects, especially the sex act and menstruation by women. Now, you know, I'm not very interested in the menstrual cycle of women, but evidently the Jews and their holy books seem to be. But I want to talk to you about something. Roseanne Barr is Jewish, you know, the comedian. And she's quite famous as a comedian. She had the number one situation comedy show on television. She was invited, and I don't know why they did it, but it must be a devil of a man who owned the San Diego Padre baseball team. But he evidently invited Roseanne Barr to sing the national anthem, at a baseball game as part of the, you know, the ceremonies and so forth. And she sang with this horrible, scratchy voice. So really they were making fun of the national anthem of the United States as, you know, oh, say, can you see? She was just horrible. And she was dressed like a clown almost. And the whole crowd, rightly so, began to boo her for desecrating the national anthem. Whereupon Roseanne Barr spit three times on the ground and grabbed at her crotch to sort of, you know, spitefully tell the crowd, go to blazes. What did that have to do with anything? Spitting three times on the ground and grabbing her crotch. Does this have anything to do with the Jewish Talmud, their most holy book?
Well, we don't have to say too much about crotch grabbing because we all know what that represents among very low-minded people. But this spitting, yes, this spitting is it's going on right now in the Israeli state, and more Christians over there are unwilling to take it as they have in the past. For some reason, they bore this. Well, I understand what the reason would be, because Jesus preached that we are to bear up with this persecution. But they hate the cross. They hate the crucifix. In fact, if you're in a Polish Judaic neighborhood, you might hear a phrase called Selimkep, which is Yiddish for crucifix head, which is what they refer to Christians as. And it's a dirty little secret of Orthodox Judaism, the spitting on any Christian image. And this material is in my book. And Roseanne Barr may or may not be a spitter. I can tell, I mean, in terms of a ritual spitter, she may have just been a very crude and uncouth person. But I can tell you that in Judaism, it's one of the worst things that you can do is to spit. So they understand the evil of that. But because we're really not so much the United States of America anymore, we're the Talmudic States of America, more and more what used to be a bizarre, strange, and sickening ethic, alien ethic that came from the Talmud, is now widespread throughout the United States. It's becoming part of our culture, and people simply accept it. And you may recall, Tex, back in October, this fellow Larry David, who has this HBO television show called Curb Your Enthusiasm, he went to the bathroom in a Catholic home in this show. It's a fictional program, but this is what it depicted, that he went to the bathroom in a Catholic home and splattered urine on a picture of Jesus. And he didn't clean it off, and then the supposed comedy of this is that a Catholic woman goes to the bathroom after him, she sees the picture, and concludes that Jesus is crying. And she then summons her mother, and the two of them fall to their knees in prayer before this urine-splattered image, which they think is a miraculous image. Now, Tex, I can tell you, if Larry David had been seen on television to urinate on a picture of Grand Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, he would have been taken off the airwaves immediately. But since urinating and spitting on images of Jesus are part of the customs of the religion of Orthodox Judaism, and it's in my book, Judaism Discovered, his bigoted Talmudic TV show is still broadcast on national TV. And when the conservatives, the cowardly conservatives, protested this, they didn't protest it in Talmudic terms as saying, now, wait a minute, this fits a pattern of spitting and urinating and desecrating and defecating on Christian images throughout the history of Judaism from the Middle Ages onward. No, they didn't make that connection. They simply said that it was unfortunate that the secular-type Judaics are offering this type of disrespect to Christ. And that's about all they said about it. I really think, Tex, that that this is an indication of how we've been alchemically processed over the past 40 years, because if anybody had ever dared to do anything like this on national TV 40 years ago, HBO would have shut down. There would have been 10,000 or 20,000 Christians in front of their studios demanding that every advertiser connected with this be gone. But today, it's just another part of the American culture, and that's why I can't understand how we claim that we're a Christian civilization that needs to fight a war with Islam. What is Christian about America where Larry David is still able to be a TV star in good standing and his program is still broadcast when this Talmudic spitting is going on?
Well, urinating on the image of Jesus, Jewish artists are prone to do that. You'll remember that a display in a major museum called Piss Christ, a picture of Jesus inside a vat of urine. And that was considered a great work of art and displayed by a museum. Larry David had a, you know, again, now here's the guy who produced the award-winning TV show, was number one for 10 straight years, Seinfeld. And Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian, is Jewish. And all the others that starred in that series were all Jews. And Larry David, the producer, is also a Jew. And like you say, he has his own program now called Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO. Now, he had one segment that I thought was quite interesting that I heard about, where according to the Talmud, I want to know if you have any knowledge of this. According to the Talmud, a Jew, a faithful Jew, I think it's on his 10-year anniversary, wedding anniversary, he can be disloyal to his wife. He can have sex with another woman, but only on the night of, I think it's his 10th anniversary of marriage, he can go find another woman, a Jewish woman, and they can go to a motel or hotel and have sex together. And the only caveat is the man who wants to have sex with another woman on this anniversary of his marriage wants to be unfaithful to his wife. But they don't call it unfaithful. They say it's perfectly legit. And evidently in this segment on television, Larry David convinced his wife he wanted to do it because according to the Jewish Talmud, it was an acceptable practice of the rabbis. And the only thing was his agent, though, who's a Jew, in the TV show, also a Jew, his Hollywood agent, tells Larry, you've got to do it the Talmud way by over the naked body, I guess, of the woman you're having sex with. You've got to lay a sheet over her, a white sheet, and just make a hole right there where her sex organ is. So you and she can have sex together through the hole in the sheet. Of course, you know, the whole thing is sort of insane. If you're going to have a sex, infidelity with another woman on your wedding anniversary of all things, and it's acceptable according to the Jewish religion, why would you have to use a sheet with a hole in it and lay it over the woman you're having sex with? But anyway, that was the theme of the show. Now, evidently, this is something out of the Talmud.
Well, you see, we're dealing here with a situation ethics text where I would say one of the primary features of rabbinic Judaism is the loopholes that it creates in the Word of God. And they twist the Word of God so that it can mean everything and nothing. And in our previous broadcast, as part of this program, we talked about Moed Katan 17a, where it says, when a Jew wants to do evil, he should put on dirty clothes and go to a city where he is not known and do the evil there. So the particular act of adultery that you're suggesting is allowed on a 10th wedding anniversary, which I'm not familiar with that particular rule, if indeed it is one, would nonetheless fall under this very libertine attitude that they have in terms of the situation ethics, because after all, it's the rabbis who make the halakha or law. They are the supreme lawgivers above even God. And so, therefore, if a particular rabbi has allowed a loophole for adultery, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Well, you know, I was talking to a Christian Bible scholar, a good friend of mine, and he was telling me that the newer Bible versions, and I'm talking about even the New Testament, that many of them are being changed, and the things that are being changed are things that the new translators want to do. In other words, they're sinful men. For example, if they're a homosexual, well, they want to take out any restrictions against homosexuality. And I wonder, these rabbis wanted to do these things. They wanted to be unfaithful to their wife, so they made up these rules that would give them a scam by which they could do it. Now, by the way, Elizabeth Dilling's book, you know, she wrote that sort of classic book. Yours is the classic, but many years ago, that quote had quotes right out of the Talmud and such. This, I remember the hole in the sheet thing came out of her book where she had quoted from one of the Talmudic sources. But now, listen, let's talk about...
It also comes out of Evelyn Kay's book, which that's the eponymous... that's the title of the book, The Hole in the Sheet.
The Hole in the Sheet. It's a book. Well, here's something else that came out. During the Bill Clinton impeachment, President Bill Clinton, you know, he had oral sex with Monica Lewinsky, this Jewish woman, Jewish young girl, intern from the White House. And there was a rabbi who came out at them. He consulted a rabbi as one of his spiritual advisors. And I don't remember the rabbi's name, Michael, but the rabbi came out and made a public statement, and I remember reading it and even seeing him on TV. And he stated that according to the Talmud, oral sex was really not being unfaithful to your wife because it wasn't really the same as sexual intercourse. So it was almost like he was, you know, sort of like you're saying, they dodge and divert. But oral sex evidently is no problem. If you want to have oral sex with another woman other than your wife, that's okay. That's not quite the same as intercourse.
I would have to say that portion of oral sex may be all right, but if it led to ejaculation, they would have a problem with that. And that is because, and here again, this is where Christians are misled. They would say, oh, Mr. Hoffman, you're saying then that they don't believe in the completion of the act. They stand for the more natural and God-ordained act. No, that's very deceptive to assume that about this religion. I know we're trained to think the best about people. In the case of Judaism, you seldom go wrong if you think the worst. And actually, they have a superstitious regard for the male semen. And the reason for that is has nothing to do with the Christian proscription in Genesis 38 against onanism and onan and all of that. What it pertains to is that they believe in reincarnation. And the spirit of the reincarnated person, the Gilgal, is inside, according to their doctrine, that male seed. And therefore, it has to always be placed inside the woman at the culmination of the act. What you do before that, you can sodomize your wife, and she could have oral sex with you. But the actual culmination has to be vaginal, because otherwise you are obstructing the progress of this transmigrated soul, this Gilgal, this reincarnated person. And of course, as you know, very well, Tex, reincarnation goes all the way back to pharaonic Egypt. So here we have the doctrine of the Egyptian pharaohs that opposed Moses and opposed the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, being practiced inside Orthodox Judaism that claims to be the religion of the God of the Bible. What a farce.
Boy, incredible. Well, we're about running out of time on this half of the show. Folks, when you come back, I have some questions for Michael Hoffman. I know he's going to have the answer. Is it okay in the Jewish Talmud to have sex with a little boy or a little girl? Is it okay if you're a Jew to have sex with a Gentile woman, but not sex out of marriage with a Jewish woman? And what is sex magic? That's on page 256 of the book Judaism Discovered. What is sex magic and the goddess, the divine of the Jewish faith? Do they actually worship a goddess? Ah, you thought they only worshiped Yahweh. Well, you'll learn a lot more. Stay with us. My special guest is Michael Hoffman II. His outstanding scholarly work, Judaism Discovered. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This text Mars again. You know, we're offering this great book, Judaism Discovered, because we want you to know what the synagogue of Satan really believes. This is the religion of the Rothschilds. It's a religion, I believe, that is practiced in secret by Barack Obama. After all, he's surrounded himself with Zionist Talmudic Jews, including Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel, no doubt, when he served, or before he was able to serve in the Israeli Defense Forces, that's right, he didn't serve in the American military, but in the Jewish military there in Israel, he gave an oath of office. He gave an oath that he would serve the military of the nation of Israel. Rahm Emanuel, the White House Chief of Staff for Barack Obama, is president. And he no doubt put his hand on the Jewish Talmud. In the book, Judaism Discovered, you will read about Alan Greenspan, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank and the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors for the White House, how he put his hand on the Talmud. We discussed last week how Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg laid her hand on the Jewish Talmud and even said that this was her guide for daily living, and she used it. She uses the Jewish Talmud to make her judicial decisions. Not only that, but Michael Hoffman has revealed that even the Catholic, the Roman Catholic Supreme Court Judge Alito, that is it Alito or Scalito? I'm sorry. Scalia, thank you. Okay. Scalia, thank you very much. He claimed to be a Roman Catholic, but then he has ties with a Jewish organization and has used, has quoted, the Jewish Talmud in some of his decisions. So it's moved its way into Roman Catholicism, into Protestant, so-called former Protestant, evangelical Christianity. The Talmud is believed in then by many so-called Christians as well as the Orthodox Jews. But when you find out what the Judaism Talmud is, from Hoffman's book, Judaism Discovered, everything will be understood by you. This is the most sick, disgusting, perverted, satanic textbook you could ever imagine. Now I know why the Church of Satan was founded by a Jew. Now I know why the number one New Age guru, Ram Dass, actually was a Jew. Now I know why the porno kings in Los Angeles are all Jews. They give us all of the triple X rated movies. They're Jews because their minds have been polluted. And you'll see exactly how. This book is 1,100 pages. You must have it. I repeat, please order this book. Get it. It's hardcover. So, you know, it's not going to fall apart on you. I'm telling you, it's a great book, and you'll want to read it. You'll want to order another copy for a pastor friend. Do you have a pastor that believes in Zionism, that thinks really the Jews are God's chosen people, who's been deceived by Satan? Well, do him a favor and give him this book and plead with him to read it. Put it in every library in America. Donate it to your local library so they can put it in there. And by the way, don't tell them this is a book exposing the Talmud. Just say, this is a book that explains what Judaism is all about. Please order it. Ask the librarians in your area to order this book, Judaism Discovered. They can order it from Power of Prophecy. Okay, powerofprophecy.com. When we return in just a minute, I'm going to ask Michael Hoffman to give you his address and how you can get his works, because he has many other books. And one of my personal favorites is entitled Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. Michael Hoffman also has an outstanding newsletter. You'll want to subscribe to that. And maybe he'll be kind enough to give us his website information, and you can go and find more about Michael Hoffman. I'm telling you, I love to read his articles. They're very scholarly, and yet they're easy to read at the same time. But I'll tell you, it's amazing, his book on secret societies and psychological warfare. How this stuff gets in people's heads and they have a satanic paradigm is just amazing. Now, I want to tell you how to get this book from us, Judaism Discovered, this encyclopedia of the Jewish religion. I mean, it's not the Old Testament. Anybody can go to the Old Testament. Once you read the Old Testament, you go back to this and say, wait, this isn't the same. Well, no wonder, because Jesus said to the Jews, your religion is man-made. You have traditions of men for your doctrines. That's what he was talking about, the Talmud. Jesus himself, I know, was referring to the Talmud when he told the Orthodox Jews of his day, the same as the Jews of this day, that your father is the devil. The devil authored through rabbis this incredible holy book, the most holy book of the Jews. The Muslims have their Quran. I have read the Quran. Did you know that many Muslims write to me and they say, Tex, please read our Quran to discover the truth of the Muslim religion? I do. I read the Quran, but I'm still a Christian and I'll never change. I know the Quran is not really of God. But I'll tell you something, friends. The Quran is almost a book of purity compared to the Talmud. I mean, read the Quran. I encourage people to. And you'll see that it is not really of God. But let me tell you something, friends. It's not the filthy, dirty, disgusting book the same as the book of the Jews. There is no other religious book. Not even the Hindus' Bhagavad Gita is as sickening and disgusting and despicable as the book of the Jews. Isn't that something? And yet, all these Christian pastors talk about how wonderful the Jewish religion is, and they're God's chosen people. You must know the truth. This is the time. We're in the last days. This is the end time, and it's upon us. And Barack Obama has surrounded himself with these Jewish swindlers, and now they're bringing everything down on our heads. You've got to figure it out. If you want to know what's ahead for America, listen, don't study just communism alone. If you want to know what Barack Obama and Rahm Emanuel's true agenda is, it's in Michael Hoffman's book. You'll find out what they really intend for you. Friends, you're going to end up in a gulag someday, in a concentration camp, with them taking you to the gallows to cut off your head after being tortured, and you're going to say, I had no idea these people were that evil. They are that evil, so much so that Jesus said they will kill you and think they do God service. I preach a little sermonette to you only because I'm begging you to get this book. I don't mind begging. If it can make you more knowledgeable, the Bible says God's people perish for lack of knowledge. The Apostle Paul said, for we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Please get this book. Here's the deal. $45 for the book. Encyclopedia of Judaism. It's entitled Judaism Discovered by Hoffman. Please, order it for $45. It's about the length of three or four books, over 1,100 pages. It's worth every penny and more. I'm sure that it cost him a lot to produce this outstanding book. Well done, easy to read, 1,100 pages, hardcover. Now, $45, add $5 shipping and handling. So for just $50, I mean, come on. You've got to have this book. Order it by calling us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, 24/7. And, dear friends, you can send us a check or money order for $50. That'll cover all the postage. And I'll tell you, we work hard around here. Even during the holidays, you send us your order, we'll have it out within 48 hours. That's my promise to you. 48 hours turnaround. I always have disliked those ads that said, please allow 6 weeks for shipping. Hey, if I order something, I don't want to wait 6 weeks for it. And you're not going to have to wait 6 weeks. I don't know how long the postal service is going to take. But around here, we get your mail, we open it, and the next day, it's out the door. That's what we do. Every once in a while, it runs into a weekend. But 2 work days, we'll have it out of here. You know why? Because we treasure you as our friend, as our customer, and our fellow servant in God. We treat you just like you're our family. You're our friend. Why would we want to treat you bad? Why would we not want to take care of you? You are everything to us in our heart. And that's why I offer these books. I offer books that bookstores are frightened to give you. They're so scared of the Jews that even the Bible talks about people having fear of the Jews. Now, friends, get this book. You can't get it in bookstores. You can't. You can order it direct from Michael Hoffman, and I'm going to give you his address in a minute. And I don't mind that at all if you order direct from Michael Hoffman. I encourage it. We're not trying to make money off the book. We simply want the book out there. Order it from Michael Hoffman's organization, too. You know, he's doing the work of God here with his Independent History and Research. That's the name of his group, Independent History and Research. Fantastic stuff that he does. And I want you to know about his work, okay? Now, again, 1-800-234-9673, or go to powerofprophecy.com, or write us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. That's A-U-S-T-I-N. In the Republic of Texas. Well, don't put that on your envelope, but just put TX or Texas. 78733 is our zip code. Now let's return to our program. We're talking about, well, the Satanic Jewish Talmud. It's their most holy book. It's important to them. It's what the Orthodox rabbis believe in. And the man they call the greatest, Time magazine called the greatest Jewish scholar of the last 100 years, is a translator of the Babylonian Talmud. That's what makes you a famous Jewish rabbi if you're a Talmudic expert, so-called. Well, hey, we've got a Christian today, Michael Hoffman, and he's an expert too. And he's going to tell you the truth about the Talmud, and he quotes it exactly. And he has all the references and pictures and everything in his book, Judaism Discovered. Michael Hoffman, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you very much, Tex.
One of the horrors in a modern society is incest and the molestation of little children. Now, I do believe in the death penalty for people like that, but evidently in the Jewish Talmud, they seem to accept this kind of thing. Tell us what minor sex with minor children has to do with the Talmud.
Well, it has to do with the fact that they create these age limits, age 3 for girls and age 9 for boys. And this allows a Judaic male or female, either one, to have congress, a sexual congress, with the baby girl under the age of 3. It said 3 years old in a day. I don't know why they had that day in. And then for the boys, it's 9 years old. And actually, we have evidence that in practice in the Israeli state, there was a divorce case in which the husband who was leaving the wife had filmed her having sex with her own little boy, because the Talmud permits sex even between a mother and a son if the boy is under the age of 9. Now, we talked earlier, Tex, about loopholes, and the mentality here is that a boy under the age of 9 is incapable of having sex. See, a rabbi, if he heard this quite often, I don't want to generalize about all of them, but I imagine that a majority would say, oh, there's no sex. No, we don't sanction sex between a boy and his mother, or between a boy and a man. But, you see, what they do is they say, it's impossible to have sex with a child under the age of 9, therefore it's not happening. Well, of course, what can happen with a child is, and you and I both know, as common sense will tell you, that a child can be molested, and that this mother or some other strange woman can come in and do certain things to that boy child, whether or not he's an active participant or not. You have a young body there, and you can pollute and violate that body. Obviously, those are sexually perverted acts. But according to the Talmudic mentality, perhaps because the boy is not biologically capable of engaging in the sex act at an age under 9, therefore it's not sex. And by the same token, with the little girls, I mean, it's almost too horrible to countenance, but they also suggest that in the Babylonian Talmud, it states that if her hymen is penetrated, it's not to worry because it's going to grow back, and it is as if she never had sex.
So her hymen will grow back, so it's okay to have sex with a girl 3 years old.
Yeah, because her hymen, even having been broken, is going to grow back. So you can see the delusional mentality here. Any sane person would say, my God, this is an outrage. But this is hidden from the public. It's denied, and that's why so often in my book, not only have I reproduced quotations from the Talmud, but we've actually tried to photograph key controversial sections, lest people say that I was quoting inaccurately. And this certainly does exist as part of the halakha, or rabbinic law, of Orthodox Judaism.
Now, Hillary Clinton, our Secretary of State, former First Lady, her grandmother was a Jew, and she proudly mentions it. And, of course, the leaders of the feminist movement, people like a Congresswoman Bella Abzug, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, the two senators from California, and then, of course, Gloria Steinem, the former Playboy bunny who was a feminist, I'm sure they have really protested and demonstrated against the Jewish religion because of this abomination. They're claiming in the Talmud it's okay to have sex with a little girl 3 years or younger. I'm sure they've been out leading demonstrations against this, Michael?
Well, you'd be surprised, of course, not the abortionists that you mentioned. I mean, that's how I refer to them. Most of the people you mentioned are key people in instituting Roe v. Wade and the abortion holocaust. But, I mean, Judaic women are human beings, too. Our religion was founded by Jews and people who converted from the Pharisee religion to the Christian religion. And so it happens today. And what we're also seeing is, and I think it's a good thing, we're seeing some feminist-oriented Judaic women who are totally fed up with the misogyny of the Judaic religion and also the countless oppressive rules. Talk about what Muslim women have to go through, and that's been made notorious in our society. What about what Talmudic women have to go
through? But my point is, have you found in any book written by Gloria Steinem that she's
no.
opposed this? Or did Bella Abzug lead a demonstration? Or did she speak about it on the floor of the House of Representatives?
Absolutely not. In fact, what they'll do is they'll try to find anything Abzug and Steinem and the rest of the crew that they can pick on inside Christianity to say that it's anti-woman or oppressive, and then they completely, Abzug and Steinem and Hillary Clinton, they completely gloss over what's going on inside Judaism.
Well, now, there's another area in your book, and I want to emphasize to people out there, you know, Michael Hoffman and Tex Morris, we don't really like to talk about these things. We really don't. But I want to expose these things. You know, the fact is so many people don't understand this, Michael, and I want to let them know the horror of the Jewish religion. And when you contrast it and compare it with the purity and beauty of Jesus Christ and what he taught about marriage and love and sex, you know, that even having thoughts about having sex out of marriage is a sin. And, you know, when you compare it with Christianity, it's so evil. And I don't want people to get sucked into this. And there's some Christians who are even converting to Judaism. And I want them to know, and I want Jews out there to understand. There are a lot of Jews out there, you and I know, Michael, they don't read this Talmud. They don't know what the rabbis really believe. And they're just merrily going along saying, yeah, the Talmud must be a wonderful book because we Jews, it's like the whole focus of our Jewish race and tribe. And maybe some of them are listening too, and they might get mad at you, Michael. They might hate you for saying these things. But a year or two later, maybe Jesus will put something in their hearts, and maybe it'll bug them so much, you know, it'll be like the little piece of sand caught in the oyster, the clam that makes the beautiful pearl. And eventually leads them to Christ. Now, let's get to the subject of menstruation. Evidently, the Talmud even talks about the menstrual cycle of women, and there are all kind of rules and everything about it.
Well, you're very right, Tex, to say that we wish we didn't have to talk about this. You know, we used to live in such innocent times. As you recall, you're old enough to remember, and so am I, that the word gay was a word that defined an innocent and happy time. If you went to a picnic and you had an innocent, happy time, you said, you know, we had a gay time at that picnic. And, of course, now in this darker, much darker Talmudic world that we live in, and people don't realize how Talmudized our society is because they have blinders on, much of this innocence is lost, and that's why it falls to you and me by obligation to have to tell some hard truths here that in a better age we wouldn't have to do so. But we
yes.
certainly don't want to do it. It's just that we're under obligation to do so. First of all, I'd like to say that no less an authority than Rabbi Jacob Neusner, a famous Talmud translator who was an advisor to George W. Bush and is a friend of Pope Benedict XVI, has made the statement, Phariseeism begins in menstrual blood. And this is an astonishing statement. If it didn't come from a rabbi, I'm sure that people would say, no, it's not possible to say such a thing. Menstrual blood, as we all know, is very dirty and it's filthy and it's something that women have to get out of themselves. when they're not pregnant with child, and they have their monthly cycle. But the rabbis are fascinated with this, and they have created a huge number of laws and rules that pertain to women detecting the blood and how many days they have to observe before they can resume sexual activity with their husband. Now, this is not to be confused with the Old Testament's hygiene code. This goes far beyond it into realms of psychosis, which are truly incredible. And as we can see from Neusner's statement, Phariseeism begins in menstrual blood. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And he's saying positive things. In other words, Phariseeism, which is Orthodox Judaism, has its beginnings in menstrual blood.
Yes. And you see, Judaism is really a religion of fear. And it's presented to us as a free, open, just, a warm-hearted religion. It's a religion of fear. And in order to get these women to observe all these hundreds of rules, her husband can't touch her when she's Nida, N-I-D-D-A-H, which means when she's unclean, either during the menstrual period, but also afterwards. And they have all these rules to observe about what they can touch and what they can pick up. Well, how does the Talmudic Judaic religion enforce this? It enforces it with curses. You see, if you fulfill all of these hundreds and hundreds of laws which oppress the woman and indeed the husband as well, then you're going to give birth to nice children. But if you fail to observe all of these hundreds of man-made laws, not biblical laws, you then come under supernatural curses. And this is what the rabbinic halakha says are the curses that come from not observing these rabbinic menstrual laws. You will give birth to a female. That's regarded as something of a curse, to have a baby girl instead of a baby boy. You will give birth to retarded or malformed children. Or the offending parents may have a sudden or premature death. Can you imagine the gossip in the synagogue when a retarded child, one of these Down syndrome babies, a precious child in the eyes of God, is born to a couple? People automatically assume that the couple did not observe the laws of menstruation. Can you imagine if one of the father or the mother has a sudden death or a premature death? Once again, they imagine they've been cursed. It's insanity. And later on, if we have time, I'll tell you what Jesus' attitude was towards all this. 100% different. I want to cite a documented case, and the evidence is presented by a very esteemed figure in Orthodox Judaism who's the wife of a rabbi. And a wife of a rabbi is known as a rabbitzin. And so here's where we're at. If the Judaic wife has successfully negotiated all these rituals that are associated with the seven clean days, at the end of that, she has to immerse herself in a ritual bath, which is known as a mikvah, in order to be considered not a nida, not a menstruant. And sometimes Judaic women, you know, being human, they grow tired of this farce of having to seek out special water with which to perform the mikvah. So instead, they may seek out, as a matter of convenience, other purification sources more readily available, such as a swimming pool. The account as follows. A friend of the Rebitzin was asked the following question by a young married Judaic woman. So-and-so happened to be using a swimming pool for a mikvah, and I want to know how bad is it? And if it's really bad, what can I do about it? And the Rebitzin says, my friend didn't want to give her answer. She told her, you know what, I'm going to make an appointment with the rabbi and speak to him and come back with you with an answer. And so she went to the rabbi, and in a very regular tone of voice, she didn't say, Rabbi, the most terrible thing happened. Instead, she said, I just want to ask the rabbi a question. This woman called up, she started telling me what she did, and the rabbi's listening, and when my friend came to the description of what the woman did, she immersed herself in the swimming pool, the rabbi looked at her and said, and my friend replied, and she considered it a mikvah, you know, she was on vacation, how bad was it? And my friend said she always knew how bad it was, but she never really knew until she saw the transformation that happened in front of her eyes. The rabbi's face became gray. She saw him age 20 years and 20 seconds. He pushed his chair, which is on wheels, away from the desk and toward the wall, and he started banging his head into the wall. And he said, she is polluted. She is polluted. And text, this is what these Judaic women labor under. Can you imagine? And they say, we Christians are the one who is uptight. Not the strictest Christian woman. I know, whether she's Presbyterian or Amish, has to go through any of this, and yet through their Hollywood magic and their New York media magic, they've made us out to be the ones who are anti-life, and supposedly Judaism is some liberated alternative. What a farce.
Wow. Now, another area that I think is just terrible is the circumcision as it's done by the Jewish rabbis. Now, we've only got about 2 minutes left, but evidently in the Talmud, it tells them how to have circumcision. And I think, you know, I asked three or four Christians, what do you think circumcision involves in the Jewish faith? And they all talk about, you know, the same thing. They take the little boy to the hospital and they have a surgeon to do the circumcision. I said, oh, no, 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 no. Michael Hoffman, what is circumcision? How is it done in the Jewish faith?
The circumcision rite is called the Bris, B-R-I-S. And one part of it is the rabbi sucks the blood from the circumcised penis using his mouth and lips. This actual process is called Metitza Bepeth. And that's the rabbinic circumcision rite. Recently, the New York State Department of Health, as documented in my book, challenged this. And the rabbis in New York, with all their power, were able to overthrow the challenge. So this molestation of little boys is still allowed throughout the United States. So can you imagine, Tex, these Judaic boys start out life being homosexually molested at birth.
So they have a ritual, and the mother and father are there. They invite all their family members. They lay the little baby down on a table or whatever, and then this rabbi comes in, and with his mouth actually does the circumcision by biting it off with his teeth, the foreskin. This is the most incredible, horrible thing. And I understand in the case you're talking, one of the cases, turned out that several of the Jewish children, babies, were given AIDS because it was a homosexual rabbi that was doing the circumcisions. And he transmitted the AIDS virus to the little babies. This is so horrible. I mean, people out there must be, a lot of people probably, it's so disgusting and obscene, they're turning off their radios. What they should be is telling other people about it so we can stop these hideous satanic practices.
And if they doubt it, we actually have a photograph of this circumcision rite in our book, a very rare photograph. You don't see all the details, but it's from the Judaic sources themselves, so there's no denying. I believe it was the herpes virus that was passed from his mouth into this little child. And this is going on every day in New York City as we speak. Perfectly legal, perfectly moral.
Wow. Just incredible. Folks, so much in this book, Judaism Discovered by Michael Hoffman. You must have the book. Learn what sex and bodily functions, witchcraft, occultism have to do with the Jewish faith. It's happening in your local synagogues in your hometown, perhaps. It's happening even in the White House. And Michael Hoffman has exposed it in Judaism Discovered. By the way, Michael Hoffman's address is... Michael, I better get me P.O. Box 849, is that right?
Yes, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 83816. And we're on the internet at www.revisionisthistory.org.
Would you please respond? Say that again. I know they can get this book from you. Is that right? Directly from you?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And that's box 849, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. The zip is 83816. If you don't know how to spell Coeur d'Alene, as long as you have the zip code down, it'll be all right. And the website is revisionisthistory.org. And for anyone who's listening to this show, if you tell us you did listen to Tex and you're a good friend of Tex, we'll send you a free copy of my bi-monthly newsletter called Revisionist History. We'd be happy to do that for such a courageous man as Tex Mars. May God bless you, Tex.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to Dark Secrets of the Talmud, the second of two parts with my special guest, celebrated author, historian, revisionist historian. I love that. And scholar on the Jewish religion, Michael Hoffman II. My prayer, dear friends, is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.